Joining us right now is actress Tana Frederick. You might know her and love her from films like Hollywood Dreams and Irene in Time and the upcoming Queen of the Lot. She is also on stage with Just 45 Minutes from Broadway, the Henry Jaglom film play, actually. It's at the Edgemar Center for the Arts. And she's starred in a number of other plays as well. And we welcome her now to PMP Network. How are you, Tana?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the program. We like beautiful women. We welcome them with open arms here on PMP Network.
That's so sweet.
Now, you're actually a surfer as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am a surfer as well.
Yeah, and you co-founded something called Project Save Our Surf?
I did. It's an organization that every year we put on a 24-hour surfathon and invite pros and celebrities and choose beneficiaries. This year we're actually doing it in Huntington Beach on June 19th and 20th from 12 p.m. on Saturday the 19th to 12 p.m. on Sunday the 20th, which is actually International Surfing Day. So we have Surfing Magazine behind us on that one, and it's a 24-hour surfathon. There's going to be 16 teams of 24 surfers, 16 surfers in the water every hour on the hour, even from 12 a.m. till 6 a.m., surfing by the light of the Huntington Beach Pier. And this year our beneficiaries are the wonderful Surf Rider organization, which really hits a lot of home runs as far as environmental ocean cleanup on the international scene. And then we also have Heal the Bay, which is our local California chapter of coastal cleanup. And then Inside the Outdoors, which is a children's organization, which takes kids hiking and camping in the wilds of California and teaches them about the environment. So we're pretty stoked.
Yeah, I'm a big ocean guy myself and love nature. And one of the things that really gets me aggravated is this oil thing with BP, which is destroying the ocean. And I just can't imagine people who, own homes near the beaches and who are watching the destruction that's happening to the habitat under the water, and it's just absolutely nauseating.
It's really disturbing. It's really difficult even digest information about it. It's really interesting because we have a Facebook page for Project Save Our Surf, and the day that the oil spill happened, I posted something about how it's really important right now that we have grassroots organizations such as Project Save Our Surf who have no political affiliation, so we can't be swayed, because there's a lot of there's a lot of underground groups that have been swayed by the government and by oil companies, in before this crisis happened. And so I just posted this thing saying, how we all need to stand up. And some girl wrote on there, how are you surfers going to get to the Gulf to surf? You have to have oil. And looking at that, it's just oh my God, there are actually people out there who still think this way. And it's kind of disgusting, and it's sad, and kind of unbelievable. The spill is going to be, the oil is going to be pumping out into the ocean until August, and there's no way to stop it. And we do what we can.
Yeah, I don't understand how anybody can come to the defense of the of BP, who's acted so irresponsibly. And it's going to cause, damage to generations to come. It's unbelievable. It's not like there's any kind of fix. There's no quick fix.
It's one of the biggest environmental tragedies that we've ever experienced. I mean, it's already, they say it's 3 times worse than Exxon, but it's probably 10 times worse. And, the numbers that we're being fed, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but in reality, the numbers that are being given to us are far greater than what they are far greater than what they're telling us, and it's awful.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're lying to us. I think they just don't know, and that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much stuff spewing out of there. They don't even know what's going on. They were ordered by the government to put up a film, which is amazing. If you sit and watch that camera, just spewing oil all day, it makes you just nauseous. Let's talk a little bit about you instead of bad things like and depressing things like the ocean down by the Gulf.
If I can just put a positive cap on that, just so that we don't leave that the subject on a sour note. The thing that's really inspiring about in the wake of this tragedy is that a lot of people now are coming together and having a positive outlook on ocean cleanup, because there has been a sort of lax attitude towards pushing legislation and forcing the government to be, not so lenient with its rules and regulations regarding drilling. I mean, already, Obama has taken measures to stop drilling. Schwarzenegger was ready to have drilling all up and down the California coast, which has been stopped. I've been to a couple meetings with different people, a couple of conventions, and right now the attitude is very positive that even though we're facing this catastrophe, it's a good time to look at the fact that people can no longer not listen to small organizations, environmental organizations, who are demanding that we have higher standards for water quality. And so I just wanted to end it on a good note like that.
Okay. High standards for water quality can be tough to find in this area where we are, in the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic and everything else. It's not good. Mm-hmm. But let's try to talk a little bit about you, because that's why you're here. We're not really going to talk about the oceans. Tana's much lovelier than any ocean. So, and you don't have an oil slick at this point, so yeah, that's good. Tana's clean with no oil slicks. Tell us a little bit about where you're from originally and how you got into acting.
I'm from Iowa, and I come from the city that was highlighted in The Music Man. The Music Man is called River City. In actuality, it's called Mason City, but it is Meredith Willson's fourth home. And he did start a huge arts program, a musical program there. Every year we have this beautiful 76 Trombones Band Festival Parade, which is all the bands from Northern Iowa and pretty much from Southern Iowa. Everybody comes to this wonderful parade, and I was lucky to grow up in a little pocket of art lovers and fanatics, and so I grew up doing children's theater and community theater and choir and everything since I was like 7 years old, and just doing 4 to 5 shows a year. And then from there went on to University of Iowa, which had a great writers program and theater program and had theater scholarship, and then just moved right out here after I graduated from college out here, being LA.
Mm-hmm. What was your first big break?
Hollywood Dreams. With Henry Jaglom, who's a wonderful independent filmmaker. I was waiting tables out here, and of course, that's how everybody gets started, mm-hmm. pretty much.
That's true.
And so I was waiting tables and like passing out Pepsi samples and doing anything I could to pay rent. And I was in a play as well, and one of the cast members said, "Hey, if you write Henry Jaglom." He came to rehearsal and said, "I just filmed with Henry Jaglom today. He's the most brilliant independent director I've ever worked with." And I didn't even know who Henry was. And I said, "Well, how do I work with him?" At that point, I was trying anything to get my toe in the door. Mm-hmm. And he said, "If you write him a letter telling him how much you love his work, he'll cast you in a movie, or he'll call you in to his office." So that night, I wrote him a three-page single-space letter saying how much I loved his film Deja Vu, and hand-delivered it to his office, and sure enough, he called me the very next day, and I met him, and let's see, it's 4 movies later and 5 plays later. I hadn't actually ever seen Deja Vu when I had written him the letter, and so I told him, "I think I'm pretty safe now, and you won't fire me. I never saw Deja Vu when I wrote you that letter. It was completely fabricated. But he liked that and thought it was very funny. So that's how I met the great Henry Jaglom.
Henry Jaglom was one of my earliest interviews many moons ago when he did his first film. And I wrote a letter to him, told him I really liked it. I got it on video. And it was really a strange film, as all his films are very eclectic and unusual. And he responded to me. He asked me, actually, if I wanted to be in one of his films. But what I did is I interviewed him a couple of times, and every time he had a new film out, I would interview him about it. It went on for probably like five or six films. It hasn't gone on lately.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's a genius, and quite a character as well, and a very interesting guy. But so you were in Hollywood Dreams, obviously, and Irene in Times, and then there's this is kind of like a sequel of sorts to Hollywood Dreams called Queen of the Lot, in which your character's name is changed, but kind of the same character, though, right?
Exactly the same character. She's just changed her name because David Provost and Zach Norman, who were played my managers in Hollywood Dreams, they're still representing my character at this point, and I think that the name Maggie Chase instead of Margie Cheezik would be more suited toward action films.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably true. But Noah Wiley is a co-star of that film, right?
Yes, he's absolutely incredible. It was so amazing to work with him. He's very much the embodiment of cross between Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda, and he's just, you know, he's like this quintessential 1940s modern male leading man, and just wonderful to work with. Witty, bright, it was a joy.
Now, where can we see Queen of the Lot?
It's coming out in November. It's going to be released in theaters across the country in November. So not too long.
It's interesting that Henry's films, Hollywood Dreams and Irene in Time, actually, I think they were commercial successes for him. That's relatively rare.
Yeah, it is. I was pretty happy with that. I don't know if I had anything to do with that. But, you know, I guess coming from Iowa, I kind of have more of a commercial liking, a cheesy love of romantic comedies or of films. So you know, with the collaboration of both of us on the two films, it came out kind of not quite as Jaglom-esque as the first films or that he did. You know, it was a little bit more. Yeah, I'd like to say. Commercial. I like that you said that.
Well, it seems to me like that, you know, he would probably be offended by that because I know he hates to be commercial, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to be doing a film and having no one watching it either.
Right.
You know, there's a fine line.
I think he really secretly loved the fact that people were calling the films borderline commercial because, you know, like, he and Bogdanovich worked together or have been friends for so long, and, you know, he was showing A Safe Place when Peter was showing Last Picture Story, and Last Picture Story was so amazing, and they were playing in the same movie house in New York, and Henry remembered, you know, going up to Safe Place where there were six people, you know, it was with Tuesday Weld and Jack Nicholson, and then below him was Peter's film filled with people, and he's always like, oh, Peter, he just made commercial movies. And then with Hollywood Dreams, Peter called Henry up and said, Jaglom, have you gone commercial? I think Henry actually took a little bit of secret gratification in that, because it's different for him, you know?
Yeah.
He's made so many films, so I think he likes departing or, you know, keeping things fresh. I don't know.
Now, you've done quite a few films for him. Do you now get, you know, back-end stuff? Are you now in a higher bracket of earnings, or are you still making the same kind of money you were making before?
No, I definitely make more money because pretty much if you make zero money, I was living on, like, nothing before I was, quote-unquote, discovered by Henry. But, no, actually now... you know, having done three larger films, films with him, larger independent films. I get offered scripts, and I've filmed some other films, and you know, all very interesting, quirky films, and I really enjoy the roles that are being offered to me, which is very cool. You know, they're not boring, to say the least, and so I'm having a good time.
Well, you're getting all these nods, too, for your performances. I know you were got Best Actress at Hollywood Dreams at a few different festivals, so there, you're starting to get some recognition as well, which is good. Is there anything else we can see you in besides some of the Jagalomb stuff and the play?
There's another film that's coming out, KDQ, but that's going to be released probably 2011, and then I'm going into production of a film called Fair to Be Green, which I actually adapted the screenplay. It's about this small town in Ohio. It's a beautiful script by Rob Lewandowski, co-starring with Doug Nelson in it. But we're still going to be just filming that. So I have a few irons in the fire that will be coming out in 2011.
Sounds like you had a lot of stuff going on. And you mentioned Mason City, where you're from. And I understand that you actually have brought a film festival there that's kind of an annual thing now.
Yeah, we're in our fourth year, and it's a great film festival. I really have a lot of fun with it because there's like a documentary film festival somewhere in Cedar Rapids or something, but no actual like hardcore film festival. And I've brought all these great people. The first year, I remember it was so funny. It was, you know, it was all kind of like glued and pieced together because I just thought, why not have a film festival in Mason City and, you know, bring all the people that I adore, like good films, you know, because there's this sort of myth that if you're in the Midwest, you can't make films or you don't have access to films or I don't know. It's strange. But I invited local filmmakers to make films, and then I brought out Karen Black and David Provol and Zach Norman and all these people from filmmakers from Hollywood, and I ended up taking them out to my grandparents' farm in a blue limo because we didn't have any black limos available. So it was this navy blue limo.
Wow.
I drove them out to my grandparents' farm where a calf was being birthed. And so we all stood in like the middle of this field amongst cows. Karen was out there in her Manolos and cow pies, you know, and we watched this baby calf being birthed. And David Provol was like, Lord, he had never seen anything like that. He's from, you know, if you can imagine his Sopranos face being like, oh my God. Totally freaked out. But it was great, and they held baby pigs, and it was a great festival. This year we are giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to Mark Rydell, who's coming, and Zach Norman is bringing his film Overnight, and we have Charlie Matthau, Walter Matthau's son, doing a rough cut screening of a film called Baby-O. It's a great lineup and a great venue and a really appreciative audience. So if you have any listeners out there who would like to submit a film to the Iowa Film Festival, just direct it toward me and I'll happily accept it.
is there a website for the film festival, or did they just go to tanafrederick.com for details?
No, it's www.iowaindie.org.
IowaIndie.org.
Yep.
Gotta put that one down so we can send some people over to you. IowaIndie.org. Okay. And as for you, they can find out what the latest information is at TanaFrederick.com.
Yep, that's
right. Or they can go to Facebook and check out Project Save Our Surf. And while they're on Facebook, they can go to Mark Snyder and say hello to me as well.
Are we friends on Facebook?
I don't know. We should be, though.
I think we are. We ought to be.
I'm not sure we are. I have a lot of friends, as you probably do as well, so you kind of lose track once you're over the few thousand mark, you know?
Oh, no. Do you have more than 2,000?
I have 3,600, I believe, the last time I looked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they just, you know, you interview people, and everybody wants to be friends. And people do networking on this. They do networking on Facebook, which is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. Yeah, I've got a couple jobs through Facebook.
Yeah, I've actually got clients from Facebook and many, many interviews.
Oh,
from some of the stars who are friends with stars, and they say, "Oh, I like that interview you put up." You know, that one with Tana Frederick, she sounded amazing. I want to do maybe I'll do a film with her, and maybe can I interview you? So you never know. You know?
You get capped off now, I think, at 5,000, right?
You do. Actually, once you hit like 4,000, they start giving you all kinds of crap and tells you to just create a fan page. And I just don't want to create a fan page for me. I just feel like it's such a, you know, I just, I don't know. It's too fake. I don't like it. I don't like it.
My uncle started one for me, but I don't.
Yeah, that's okay. If your uncle starts one for you, that's great. Yeah, that's all right. Your uncle can start one for me, too. I'll call him up and get him to do mine, too. You know. Now, what's the social life for a gorgeous actress like yourself?
It's completely non-existent. I have no free time. I'll dedicate my time to either training for a marathon, all my free time, or surfing. I am a black belt, too.
So really? I'm a brown belt.
In what?
Yeah, which means you can kick my butt. In taekwondo.
I'm a black belt in taekwondo.
Well, I'm a brown belt, so. But I haven't done it for a while. I must say that I kind of abandoned it. You know, I was really more active years ago than I am now. I don't have the time anymore to put into it that I used to. I can't get to the dojo anymore because I don't have time.
But did you do it, like, how long ago? Was it in college, or?
No, it was more recent than that. But not that recent, though. But
oh
it's something that
so
you never forget, though. It's still there all the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you haven't
and
used it in 20
years.
A
lethal weapon.
Yeah, if you haven't used it in 20 years, it's still there.
Right.
It's just
right.
A little bit duller. It's a little bit set back in a more subtle way than it would be.
Right. But if you try to pull a gun on us.
Yeah, well, they're still going to have a hard time, you know. But it depends on how. If they're 40 feet away from me and they pull a gun, then I'm in trouble.
Right.
But if they're close by, then they could be. You know?
But if they're 40 feet away from you and they pull a gun and I'm behind them, forget about it. You're finished.
Well, so, you don't have all the wonderful fantasy life of Hollywood, you know, going to parties every night and meeting and dating all these famous stars on a regular basis?
No, I don't. No, I think I have, like, the equivalent of a farmer's life out here. I mean,
well,
you know, I don't know. I wake up early. I have tons of stuff to do every single day. I'm preparing scripts or, you know, doing interviews or every single second is full. And then, you know, the show has been running for a year, which is ridiculously long in Los Angeles, but I'm so privileged to do it, but it's exhausting. And so, you know, we just put Karen Black in for another actress. And so, I mean, pretty much all of my time taken, like pretty much every second of the day is taken, and I you know, when I have free time, I sleep. It's definitely not the glamorous life that I anticipated, you know. I mean, I'm like a tomboy, and so to me, the idea of preparing to go to, like, I had to go to a Heal the Bay event, which was a beautiful event, but, you know, you have to get ready for it, and it takes 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, there might be some women who say, oh, I just on some powder, but no, they don't.
No, you can't. If you're doing a public appearance like that, you have to be all, you know, fancied up, and it takes a while. It's not something that's easy.
It takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm and so it's just 2 hours of sitting there, and it's like so frustrating. But yeah, it's not like I expected. But I love it. I love being in the independent film niche, and you know, I'm looking forward to checking out and seeing what the big budget film world is like, you know, and getting closer to that. I'm sure that I'm definitely allowed more freedom and more expression where I'm at right now, but it's very interesting, but it's a ton of hard work.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here. You ready? Write it down.
Okay. Oh my God.
That I think you're going to end up in a film that's going to get a lot of people watching it, a lot more than you've had in the past, and that you're going to become like a kind of an A-list type of star, and then at that point, I'll call you and say, Tana. And you'll say, who? Who are you? I don't remember PMP Network. Get out of here. Listen, you know, you're not from Extra and Access Hollywood. I don't want to talk to you. Oh, you say you're from People. Oh. Okay, Mark, I'll talk to you.
That would not happen.
That's what they all say. I remember Angelina saying that to me. She said, Mark, don't worry about it. I'm never going to marry Brad Pitt. I'm not going to have like 40 kids. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to be a normal person with vials of blood on my neck. And look at her now. So, you never know. That's the way I look at it.
You never know.
Yeah. See, you're from Iowa. You're always going to have that down home thing. You'll never become like that.
Yeah, I think that sort of humble like thing has been whipped into me. I mean, not literally, but you know what I mean.
No, I do. I know what you mean. And you know, being from farm country, you know, I went to school in Milwaukee and hung around with some people that lived in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin, and you know, it was kind of cool. I liked those people. You know, they were real people.
You know, they're very real people, and actually. My dad and I have a cabin in Wisconsin right next to each other, you know, where I can go and, if I do get time off, go and fish with him and hang out, you know, in the middle of nowhere on this gorgeous lake. And that's like, you know, that's good times to me.
That's cool. See, that's real life. That's what life's all about. But unfortunately,
yeah.
The more popular you get and the more things you're doing, the less time you can do things like that. I know.
Isn't that true? That's
and Daddy true. Wants to see Tana, too, and Tana doesn't have time for Daddy and fishing. Tana's busy. Tana's
you know,
doing, she's saving the oceans.
That.
You know? You're saving the bay.
This no, thing. Actually, Mark, my parents are coming out here for the Project Save Our Surf event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to introduce them and stuff like that and embarrass them?
Totally.
Of course. Yeah.
Totally. My dad was out here for it last year, and it was, we had such a great time together. It was like father-daughter bonding time, and he was so awesome, and I just totally bossed him around, and I was like, Dad, go pick that up. Go set that up. Okay, honey.
That's
so
cool,
great.
Though. See, that's great. That's a moment right there.
Yeah, that is a moment.
Yeah. Well, TanaFrederick.com, you can check out, by the way, it's T-A-N-N-A, Frederick.com, so go to the website, say hello, you know, make sure that you talk to her now before she becomes too famous and won't respond, you know, these Iowa people. But anyway, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I hope that we can become Facebook friends at some point.
Okay, Mark, but I better not get lost in your 36,000 friends.
Well, yeah, there's only 3,600, and you'll never get lost.
Oh, yeah, 36, okay.
You'll never get lost in my friends. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
Half the amount that you do.
Really? I can't believe that. Looking like you do, you should see me. My God, people have to look and they just put their hand over my photo when they look. So it's a lot easier to tolerate that way. But
I don't know what you look like, but your voice is like very. Are you Boston?
I am Boston. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Southie.
No, I don't live in Southie. I'm the South Shore of Boston.
Because I like your. I didn't notice the lilt in your voice until like just now.
Well, you know
until like about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, when you go to broadcasting school, though, Tana, they say to you, do you don't want to sound like Boston, so don't say ka, you know. Talk correctly. Don't say park. So you say park.
Well, I think that's a lot of BS because I like your voice. It sounds different and distinguished from, you know, a million other people who I talk to. And, you know, that's like Daglam saying, oh, Tana, you better get a nose job because you broke it surfing. I have a
Well, you know, the radio,
I love it.
The radio people want homogenized people, but you know, having a broken nose or something, that's a little different because it gives you a little bit different look, which is good.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess so. It looks like Jimmy Durante.
But no, well, yeah, right. Tana's a beautiful girl, as you would, a beautiful woman, as you will see if you go to TanaFrederick.com, because she has a gallery of 5,000 great photos over there. So, they're all fully dressed, unfortunately. But what can you do? See, on my site, there's, you know, we have all kinds of great shots. But anyway,
that sounds fun.
Yeah, let's check it out on my Facebook. But Tana, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope that we can speak again about another film that, or something that comes out. That anything new that comes out in your life, let me know, and we'll catch up.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, and you are so fun and a sweetheart. So thank you for my 8 a.m. my triple espresso shot interview.
Yeah, well, there you go. And now you're going to have to just go, oh, wow, what do I do now?
I know. I'm totally pumped now. Like, yeah. I got to go do something.
Well, you can feel free to call me anytime and just talk. So, yeah.
All right, dear.
Anytime
thank
you want.
So much.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.